When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It is hour number three of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're set to chat with Nick Harris of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram about all things football this weekend. And a good afternoon, Nick. We're efforting Nick Harris, probably at press box over there at AT&T Stadium.
I guarantee he's there.
We have Salina and Kilgore right now in the second quarter. Salina's leading that one 16-14. Congrats to the Carthage Bulldogs that got the dub earlier today, just as we were getting on air, as Nick Harris joins us now here on The Fan. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. I am posted up here at AT&T Stadium watching the state championships today, having a great time.
Hell yeah, man.
So was this just like football nirvana for you?
This might be the best weekend of the year, fellas. There's a lot of contenders, but this is high up there, especially now that you factor in the first round of the college football playoffs. It is so up this weekend.
So what's the best game? Like, how would you power rank, including college football, the NFL games tomorrow, and then the state championships? I mean, Kilgore Salina seems like this could be an instant classic they were watching right now.
Zach, I wish I had time to break down all of the great games that we have this weekend here. I think the best one that will be here at AT&T this weekend, man, it might have been Stanford and Ganado yesterday. Went to triple overtime. Ganado won on the alternating two-point conversions. But, yeah, this Kilgore-Salina one, it's one of the headliners this weekend. And then tonight, South Oak Cliff and Richmond Randall is going to be fantastic.
So, Nick, I'm curious about your college football bracket. Who's in the final? Who do you have winning it all?
Yeah, I got Oregon and Georgia in the final, and then Georgia pulling it out. I just think the SEC might eventually be too much in a bracket like this, where they have to play, you know, potentially three and four games. In Oregon and Georgia's case, it would be three games, but, you know, for the other teams, four or four. I think the physicality in the trenches might just be a little too much for any other conference, and I'm just kind of giving conference prestige at that point. I think it's going to matter once you get to, like, January 18th.
So you're a believer in Gunnar Stockton, on the backup for Carson Beck?
Yeah, I do. I mean, seeing what he did in the SEC championship, filling in that second half, he looked good. But I think they can lean on that running game a little bit more. ETN will be a little bit more healthy by then as well, and that defense speaks for itself.
Hey, Nick, when you look at, you know, you and I've had a chance to kind of really study up on these Buccaneers defensively. Where's Dallas need to try and attack this? I kind of feel like that maybe Dallas's defense will hold up, but it's really going to come down to their offense. Where does Dallas need to try and make the best avenue of this?
You know, I think there might be an opportunity for some big plays in this game. Now, can Cooper Rush, you know, open that up for his own passing game? You know, his depth of target, I think, has been somewhere in between 4 and 5 yards during his starts through these games that he's filled in for Dak Prescott. But you factor in the safety play that the Buccaneers have had throughout the year, and then Antoine Winfield being ruled out earlier today. I think there's going to be opportunities on the back end of that defense. And it's a pass defense that ranks 30th in the NFL. So there's going to be opportunities there. I think if they can at least maintain and keep offensive rhythm with Rico Dowdle, they don't need 100 yards from him necessarily. But if they can just maintain offensive rhythm with him and they get the passing game going, especially with a couple of deep shots, I think they might have a chance against this defense.
Does the Cowboys defense have a chance of containing them? What do you think should be a good goal for them this weekend?
Yeah, now that's a different story. I think this this Buccaneers offense, it has some weapons. Now, Cade Otton, their tight end, was ruled doubtful today. I think that's definitely a positive mark if you're looking at it from the Cowboys' perspective, because he's been great, especially whenever Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were both down. He really stepped up as the main target for Baker Mayfield. But you look around, Bucky Irving and Rashad White, probably one of the better 1-2 punches at running back in the entire league. Irving leading all rookies and rushing yards. I believe it's at 851. Don't quote me on that, but he's looked really good in his first year out of Oregon. Then you factor in Jalen McMillan. He's starting to finally come into his own, come into form as a rookie. He's stepping into that wide receiver two role now that Chris Godwin has been ruled out for the year a few weeks back. But he's finally starting to find that stride. And then Mike Evans, he's trying to get to 1,000 yards. He won't tell you that, but Baker Mayfield knows about it. He talked about that earlier in the week. He's roughly 250 yards away from getting that. I think they're going to be feeding Mike Evans in this game.
Hey, Nick, you mentioned about with the two running backs with the Buccaneers. Are you worried about their ability to catch the football in this game after what we saw in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think so. I think you look at a guy like Bucky Irving, who has succeeded not only here in the NFL level, but back to his Oregon days with being a threat out of the backfield. It's certainly something to keep an eye on. But I think Maris Leofau has a specific advantage there in that game just because he has the coverage skills from his days as a safety going back to early in his college days and in his high school days. So he has kind of those knacks to him. He's going to be the one accounting for the running backs out of the backfield. So it's going to be a fun challenge for Maris Leofau. I don't think we might necessarily see him blitzing as often in this game, but we're going to see his coverage abilities tested quite a bit. And I think it'll be a good opportunity for the rookie. But yeah, both of these backs, they can be a weapon out of the backfield. Baker Mayfield loves to find them in the receiving game. He's been leaning on them a lot since Godwin has gone down. So yeah, certainly something to keep an eye on.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, you look at the Bucs draft class. I mean, they probably had a draft show favorite with my guy Graham Barton, your Bucky Irving. I think we all love Jalen McMillan. What do you think about Osadigizua and that matchup with the offensive line, especially in the interior of that Bucs front? Because Osa has been arguably the best defensive tackle in football over the last month.
Yeah, I'm with you, especially from a pass rush perspective. I think that's really where you've seen it. Where you've seen him shine. I think when you look at Cody Mauch at right guard and then Graham Barton at center, I think it's kind of crazy to say, but I think Cooper Beebe's maybe been more consistent as a center throughout the year than Barton has been, whereas Barton has maybe flashed a little bit more. I think Barton's going to end up being a 10- to 15-year pro. I've stood on that since the beginning of the draft cycle, but you've seen him have some lapses making that transition to center, and especially in the pass rush. So I think there's going to be an opportunity for Osadigizua to be able to create pressure from that interior. I'm also looking at how Mike Zimmer plays with this defensive front, because you look at the interior in general from left guard all the way to right guard, they give up some pressures there in that interior. So how do they attack the left guard? How do they attack the left side? Do they maybe try to isolate Carl Lawson or Micah Parsons there in the interior and try to get them going? How does he use that double mug linebacker look to send some blitzers, maybe a guy like Donovan Wilson as well? There's going to be some opportunities, I believe, here in the pass rush. And if you can get home and start affecting Baker Mayfield where this offense begins, then I think that might have a trickle-down effect on how this defense might succeed on Sunday night.
Nick, who's got to step up besides CeeDee Lamb? I mean, that to me, I've kind of in my mind just kind of moved on. And not really from, you know, Turpin and guys like, I know Cooks missed a lot of games, but, you know, Brooks being out and, you know, Tolbert, who's going to be that guy?
Yeah, it's time for Brandon Cooks, I think, to take that step forward. You look at it, and sure, he's missed 7 games, but Jalen Brooks having more receiving yards than Brandon Cooks at this point in the season is still pretty crazy. And I think it's
the holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I think over these next three games, Brandon Cooks does have a lot to play for because he'll be hitting free agency in March. And if he can put together a solid stretch of three games, whether it be sticking with the Cowboys or going elsewhere, he's playing for bread. And so I think if they can find a way to get Brandon Cooks involved in the offense just a bit more and try to get him involved with more targets, more receptions, I think it could end up helping Cooper Rush, especially against a defense like this that has lapses in their secondary.
What's your opinion on what Micah had to say with the media a couple days ago? And this year for him, more than any, it does seem like we're actually seeing a lot of personal growth where he's not only saying the right things, but that's kind of starting to mirror the actions as well.
Yeah, I'm with you, Zach. And it's funny because I think when we went into training camp going into this year, I think there were rightful questions about how much Micah Parsons really loved the game and how much he actually cared about being around the team and things of that nature, because he didn't show up for OTAs. He didn't show up for any voluntary activity until it was a paycheck that was threatened to get taken away whenever they got to mandatory minicamp. So I think there were rightful questions being asked going into camp about, okay, how much does he actually care? How much does he actually want to be here? I think he's answered all those questions this year. I have to give credit to Mike Zimmer as well, because whenever they first got introduced first got going at training camp, he took it upon himself to meet with Micah every morning. And then eventually Trayvon Diggs makes his way in there, and then Donovan Wilson, and it's kind of a trickle down effect to where they see Micah Parsons being approached by the defensive coordinator. They see him as a defensive leader. And I think Micah's kind of taking it upon himself to be that guy. I think it was a situation, this is just me speaking, that I don't think Micah Parsons necessarily wanted to be the leader until he necessarily had to be. And I think he had to be by a certain point by the season, especially after DeMarcus Lawrence went down with his foot injury. He needed to take a step forward either vocally or on the field. And he's been able to do that. But I think when you look at it from a contract perspective, going into the offseason, what he had to say a couple days ago, man, he's giving this front office flexibility. And I think it's something that they should call his bluff on. Yeah. I think they should go to that negotiation table as soon as possible, try to get this done as soon as possible to figure out what they are working with going into free agency. But as we saw it play out last year, you know, with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, I think, you know, it's probably something you shouldn't hold your breath on. But Micah Parsons, at least right now, is giving the flexibility, or at least communicating that he wants to.
With Trayvon Diggs, you know, back-to-back seasons with pretty catastrophic knee injuries, and now the phrase bone graft being used in a report about this pending operation that he's going to have. How much concern do you have for Trayvon moving forward?
Yeah, it's a chondral injury, which is basically him, the tendons that connect the bone to the knee are having some issues, and there's going to be a lengthy recovery process that goes along with that. It's a major surgery, and so, you know, back-to-back major knee injuries, major knee surgeries that he has to deal with in back-to-back years right off this contract, it's going to have to be a decision that this front office has to make. Do they trust in his ability to be 100% when he comes off of that second knee injury? If that answer is no, then they might have to start looking at some situations where they can free up some space in his place. And if that answer is yes, then there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on number 7 whenever he does come back to the field, because there's going to be limited room for error at that point. So, it's certainly, I think, one of the bigger decisions that they have in this offseason when it comes to potentially letting guys under contract leave the building. I think Trayvon Diggs is one of those. I think Terrence Steele is another of those. I think you look at the safeties as well. They have to ask themselves questions, the front office, and ask if they, you know, see the price tag matching the level of play or even the availability for some of these guys moving forward.
Is it viable to become a contender with Guyton, Beebe, Hoffman being three of the guys? To what extent have those three young guys impressed you?
Yeah, I think you've seen growth from all three of those guys at times, and I think you've seen at their best, they've been really good. Even Guyton, I think whenever you think back to what his best has looked like this year, sure, it was probably all the way back in week 1 against Myles Garrett, but he had a good showing in that instance. I mean, by the end of this season, he will have doubled his career starts on the offensive line in his entire football career. So he still has a lot of growth. He's still really green, really raw. I think a full offseason with whoever the offensive line coach is, whether that's Mike Solari or someone else that comes into the building, I think that will help him grow going into year two. But talking about those three consistently, I think those three guys can be part of a unit that could be pretty solid for Dallas moving forward. I mean, you look at Hoffman and how he's performed in pass protection. I think he's been phenomenal. He has that nasty edge to him that I think trickles down to all five guys. And we've seen BB be so consistent as the year has gone on. And that's what that offensive line needs. It needs consistency more than anything.
Do you think anything's on the line here other than a 1% chance of making the playoffs in the final three games? Like, what happens if they would lose all three games? Could that shake anything up one way or the other?
I mean, you look at not only the coaches that are on expiring deals, but you look at all these players that are on expiring deals. There's a lot to play for in these last three games. And, you know, from a coaching perspective, 6-11 looks a lot different than 9-8 or even 8-9. And I think there's going to be a lot to play for going all the way up into week 18 for some of these guys, just because they're playing for their jobs at the end of the day. And for some guys like Osa Digizua or Chauncey Golston, Carl Lawson, they're playing for more money. And so, yeah, there's still going to be a lot to play for down the stretch here.
Speaking of coaches, how are things going with you and Big Mike these days? Sounded like you amused him again on Monday.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Me and Mike are good, always.
It's funny, man. I always look forward to your questions. So what's that AT&T press box like compared to a Cowboys game day with the high school stuff going on?
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't have the great food spread for us here for the high school days. They actually have to make us pay for food up here, which is wild. And I'm like, man, that was kind of crazy the first year that I came here. Yeah. And they provided food for a Cowboys game. I was like, oh, so they do this around here. But yeah, it's a little different. You have the local East Texas guys that'll pop in, and you might hear a cheer from the one side of the press box every once in a while, but it's all in good faith and good fun. It's Texas high school football, so it's a little less low-key, I guess you could say, and they can get away with a little bit more hooting and hollering in the press box, but it's good times.
All right, the chances SMU and Texas can both get dubs tomorrow?
You know, I had some faith in SMU being able to fight against a team like Penn State, but then when I saw it was 13 degrees in Happy Valley tomorrow morning, I was like, oof, I don't know if that's going to benefit the Mustangs any. I don't have a ton of faith in SMU, but I think Texas gets it done tomorrow. I think in Texas's case, they go as far as Quinn Ewers does in the playoffs.
Great stuff, Nick. Enjoy your football paradise.
Yeah, appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a great one.
There he goes, Nick Harris, Star Telegram, with you once again here in the G-Bag Nation. Done a hell of a job since bursting on the scene there. Our first conversation with him in Oxnard a couple of training camps ago. And, you know, every time we have him on, it is a wealth of information. Eric Henry covers the Texas beat for 24/7 Sports. He's coming up at 4:40. Well, Chuck, what is next?
National Underdog Day, 877-881-1053. What's your favorite underdog story? But more importantly, what's your favorite underdog movie? That's next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.